ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's nice to see some people are here. I mean, in the cold, mashallah, may Allah reward you abundantly for the sacrifice you're making for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the topic for today was tayammum based on the Quran and Sunnah. So this may be quite a different experience for all of us, in that we are not going to quote Imam Shafi or Abu Hanifa or Ahmad ibn Hanbal or any other of the scholars. We are just going to quote the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Quran wherever it is applicable in the tayammum. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They said it was a Bedouin Arabi, it's a Bedouin. And he said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mata sa'at ya Rasulullah? Mata sa'at? As-sa'at. Sure you all know what sa'at means? Watch, isn't it? What else does it mean? When is the day? The hour. Meaning the last hour. Yeah. When is the last hour? Now nobody could have given him an answer and worked out something to say to this man than the Prophet ﷺ. So what did the Prophet say to him? Did the Prophet say to him, why do you ask the question? I don't know. Did the Prophet say to him, let's see what the Prophet said to him. The Prophet ﷺ replied to him by asking him a question. The Prophet said to him, ma'adatta laha. What did you prepare for it? What did you prepare for it? So it's not about when or how. It is about what did I prepare for it? And I would have given, if I was that man, I would have said, well, I make salah, I've done this, I do this, I do that. He said none of those. He didn't make. All right, what did he say? He said, Hubbullahi wa Rasooli. He said, when the Prophet asked him, what did you prepare for the last hour, for the day of judgment? What did he say? He said, Hubbullahi wa Rasooli, the love of Allah and His Messenger. He didn't say, I went for Hajj 3 times, I was in Makkah 5 times. I used to wear my kurta, go to the masjid every day. No. He said, I have prepared for the akhirah, and my preparation contains 2 things. One is love for the Prophet ﷺ, and the other is one is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet reply to him? We had a short conversation. That's a big question. Matasa'a, you know. If somebody should ask him matasa'a, I'd say, you know, look at Pakistan, look at the floods. You know, I looked at it the other day, somebody sent me a clip, you know. I was never so shocked in my life. I thought this was akhirah, you know. And if you've seen the clip of the water, how it just, you know, it comes down like, not rivers, like triple rivers. And it just demolishes, I think, how do you say that to me? It just demolishes the houses on the side. And at the end, there's this river going, and in the middle of the river, there's this big black house of water that is just stuck in the middle of this river, and the river is going around it. You know? And I thought, you know, I sent a response, you know, to my children. I sent it to them, and I said to them, so what did they do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this bala on them? What did the Pakistanis do for this kind of test? The test of Nuh alayhi salam. This is the same test as Nuh alayhi salam. What did they do? And I say to my children, go and look up Surah Nuh. Go and read Surah Nuh. This time you read it, really to understand what it says and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent the deluge or the flood. Immerse the whole world in water. And we always say, you know, what do we say? You know, it's the weather changes and this and what else? What else do we say? What are the common words that we use? Climate change. It's climate change, you know. Nobody says it's Allah. I've heard a single person saying to me, there's climate change. No. Climate cannot change by itself. Climate has been created by someone and changed by someone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the climate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing the climate, and this is what we're seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this to warn us of the sa'ah. To warn us of the sa'ah. And I always think, you know, why are we in South Africa? We don't have these things. Are we waiting for, is there something in waiting for us also? Should we prepare as Muslims particularly for that time? Should we change our behavior? Should we change our love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What must we do? How do we go about it? Isn't it when you make salah you love Allah? Isn't it when you put salawat in the Prophet you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's less than, that's minus 50% of what you require. Minus 50%. You haven't yet started on the first rank of the ladder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we know that love for the Prophet is what? You can't embrace him. You can't see him. So how do you love him? You know, if you say, Stella, man, do you love your children, your grandchildren? He says, I love them. I hug them. I kiss them. You know, do you love your wife? Yeah, I hug her. I kiss her. I tell her I love her. And so forth and so on. Your husband. You say that. Somebody asks you, what do you like to eat? He says, oh, I love this. And he really means it because you can see his lips is already getting wet from thinking just about the food. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, talking about this man's love, Allah says, in kuntum, and what surah is this? Surah Ali Imran, verse number 31. Ali Imran, verse number 31. What does Allah say? In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni. Sahaba used to say, oh, Muhammad, we love you. He would say, come to him and say, oh, we love you. Of course the Sahaba said, and they really loved him. And they truly loved Muhammad. What does Allah say to them? Despite the fact that they are immersed in the love of the Nabi, what did Allah tell them? Allah says, if you say that you love me, Allah directs the love of Muhammad by himself. He says to the Sahaba and to us, if you say that you love me, fattabi'uni. Allah says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, if you say you love me, fattabi'uni, then follow me. Follow me. This is not just, follow me means follow me. You know, if you follow whoever people follow on the internet or whatever, they say, yeah, no, we follow that person and we love him. So and so on YouTube, you know, we love his lectures, you know, we listen to all his lectures, etc., etc., etc. So similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sahaba and to us, follow me. What does follow me? What does it mean, follow me? What does Allah mean? Tell them to follow you. To follow him in his what? In his sunnah. In his sunnah. To follow the Nabi in everything he did and not to follow anything which he didn't do. Not to follow anything which he did not do. Obviously, that's what it means. That's what it means. It means you should follow him in everything he did. And everything he did was who commanded him to do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you follow him and you're obedient to him, you're obedient to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it so? And if you disobey him or you overlook, say, well, you know, this is what I'll do, and this is what I think I should do, and this may be better, I may get more reward to do this, because if a prophet did it 3 times, I'm going to do it 30 times, because I have time to do it 30 times. But the Prophet only did it 3 times. Or this thing I'm doing is, well, I can be wrong with this that I'm doing. What is wrong with this? I read Quran. I put salawat on the Nabi. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is wrong with that? Did the Prophet do it? No, then there's a lot wrong with it because not part of the sunnah. If you invent things that you think is better to do than what the Prophet commanded, then there's a problem. Because he was the ultimate example. He was the ultimate example. Uswatun hasana. I use the wrong word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the correct word. Allah says, he was the best example. He was the best example. So how can I ever deviate from following him? When he was the best example. When are we very proud of our children? We love them. When they do what? When they listen. No. Not achievements. Achievements can go that way, and achievements can go that way, and achievements can go absolutely. Oh, he was the best example. So when do we love our children? When they follow what we say. When you ask them to do something, they do it. We are the most proudest parent, the happiest parent. We always say, well, that child, I could ask him for anything. If I ask him to come now, he comes now. Not 3 days later. If you ask him for 50 rand, he doesn't say, well, I'll see where I go. No, children. Don't ask him for 5,000 rand. I mean, he'll say yes, but you know. He'll say, daddy, well, I didn't have. But then why didn't you say to me you didn't have? So that's a practical example of us being happy with our children. They do what we ask them to do, and they follow. And they follow what we teach them. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. What will happen if you do that? What will happen if you do what Allah says, follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What will happen if you are obedient to your parents? This is also obedience to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same to you, obedience to the parents. Mentioned in the Quran. Be kind to them. What did Allah say? What's your reward? إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ. I tried to find this form of hub. Biba. Yuhbiba. Double. A double B at the end. Yuhbiba. Double ba. Hub is called only one. Hub. His love means love. أُحِبُّ. What do we say? أُحِبُّ. أَنَا أُحِبُّك. I don't say أَنَا I say, I don't use a double bar. Why did Allah use a double bar? I'm still searching for the answer. I don't know the answer. I tried this morning to find it. I couldn't find it. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, Allah will love you. You follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will love you. 90% of the people will hate you, but Allah will love you. What do you want? Choose. You follow the sunnah? Nobody loves you. You follow Allah? You follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah says, the Prophet wasn't loved by his own people. These people are going to love you? Allah doesn't only say He's going to love you. Allah says, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And I will forgive all your sins. And we want our sins to be forgiven, so we hang on somebody's. We say, oh, that man is a pious man. Oh, that man is this. Look at him, you know, he looks like a pious man. Maybe he's a very pious man. But Allah doesn't say anywhere in the Quran you must follow a pious man. Allah says, follow who? Muhammad. Allah doesn't say anywhere in the Quran, you must follow this man. No. Allah says you only follow one man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have another man, you're in trouble. If you have another man you follow, you are in big trouble. You're in trouble with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Allah says that He will forgive all your sins. Because that's why people follow that other man. Because the other man promises them also Jannah. He promises them also, if you follow me, don't worry on death, Qiyamah, I will stand for you. Astaghfirullah. Wallahu ghafurun rahim. Then Allah emphasizes, Allah says, Wallahu ra'ufun rahim. Really, Allah is the most ghafur, forgiving, and the most merciful. Don't bring me any other person. There's no other person that's more forgiving and more merciful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to get this right. This tawheed we have to get right. If we don't get it right, we don't get nothing right. So, what is the opposite of following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith that Gharib is part of it. Gharib is a famous Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says There will come a time when this deen will again become gharib. What does it mean? It becomes strange. Example, today's topic, I wrote the topic. Tayammum based on the Quran and Sunnah. I would have said, with my background being a Shafi Maulana, what does he mean? What does it mean, tayammum based on the Quran and Sunnah? What about the madhahib? What about all the other great scholars? Can you compare to the Quran and Sunnah? No. All right. So the Prophet ﷺ said, this deen will become strange. Bada ghariba. وَسَيْعُودُ غَرِيبًا This deen started strange. And it will again become strange. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and glad tidings to the strangers. Those people will say, never heard of that. Strange, you know? Strange. When the Prophet came and he said, La ilaha illallah, people of Makkah, they're very intelligent people. They were leaders of the Arabian Peninsula. So it's a very strange philosophy this man is bringing. We don't understand it. So, today I'm going to put what I said in the heading, Tayammum based on the Quran. First of all, when I said based on the Quran, I meant follow who? Follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam follow? He followed the Quran. That's all he had. He had no other books. I've got a library full of books. Now I look at it now and I think, I should just get rid of all of them, just keep all those books just on the Quran. But of course, one needs to go through a process before you get to a result. I want to put into perspective why I said in terms of Quran and Sunnah. Imam Shafi'i, all the four Imams, Shafi'i, who came first? Hanafi, Imam Hanifa, who came second? Imam Malik, Ibn Anas. Imam Hanifa was where? Where was he? He was in Iraq. Imam Malik was where? Say, I'm scared. I'm going to punish you. Where was Imam Malik based? Medina. He was a Maronite scholar. So it's Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i. Where did he come from? He came. Where was he born? What was his home territory? Haji? Gaza. He was in Jerusalem. Well, today we say it's Jerusalem, but that's where he was born, in Gaza. And finally, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Where was he based? Where was he born? Baghdad, Iraq, modern-day Iraq. Okay? So they were quite spread over the Middle East. Let's see when they lived. Let's look at when they lived. In which era did they live? Imam Nu'man ibn Thabit, he was born in 80 after the Hijrah. 80 years after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born. Where was he born? He was a Kufan. He came from Kufa in Iraq. Anybody know anything about Kufa historically? It was, but what was the most important part? It was Ali's capital, yes? Yes? Correct, correct. But Kufa was built at the instructions of Umar ibn Khattab. There was no Kufa. And Claim Umar, he built it. And that was the barakah of Kufa. And so all the scholars used to levitate towards Kufa. But that is not part of our discussion. We're not doing history today. And he died. How many years do you think he lived, Abu Hanifa? He lived 40 years. For 40 years he lived. He achieved what all of us in the budget and maybe in the whole world didn't achieve in 80 years. 40 years, you can't believe it. But and over those 40 years, he was a child for all of them. So maybe he says he was a child for 6 years or 5 years. That means he only had 35 years. He had such an impact on the world, subhanAllah. So much so that empires enforced only his Muslim empires, like which empire? Only enforced the Hanafi madhab. Which empire was that? Which empire only said, no other madhabs in this empire of ours? They didn't say no. They just enforced the Hanafi madhab, which is which empire? The last empire, which is who? Barakallahu fik. The Turkish Empire. In Arabic known as the Ottoman Empire. They were Hanafis, Hanafiyan Quh, as they say in Arabic. Pure, unadulterated Hanafis. Anas ibn Malik was born 93 of the Hijrah. He died in 179 of the Hijrah, so he became an old man, 86 years old, mashallah. Number three, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i was born in 150. So where does it start? 80, right? First since 80. He was born 150 and he died in 204, so he was 54 years old. Also achieved, subhanallah. I mean, I read his books, I still read his, I love his books. I love to read his books at their different. But he was very detailed. Very, very detailed. He wrote in extreme detail, whatever he wrote. So 54. He was eventually died where? In Cairo, in Egypt. Then there was Ahmad ibn Muhammad Hanbal. He was born in 164 and died in 241. So he was 77. So the eldest of them, the longest living of them, was 86 years. Now, just remember two dates. 80, that was when Imam Shafi was. When he was? 80 after the Hijrah, Imam Shafi was what on that? What happened? No. Abu Hanifa. He was born on that day. And the last of them died in 241, which is who? Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So they lived. The four imams lived between 80 and 241. How many years was that? I wanted to do the calculation. I said, why don't you ask your students to tell you exactly where they can't deduct? 161. So in 161 years, these four brilliant men of fiqh came on the scene. So it was an intense, 61 years, is it? 161. An intense 161 years of fiqh with the best men around town. They concentrated on that. Now let's go to the six men of Hadith, half a dozen. 6 million of hadith. Who were they? First one was? Was? Al-Bukhari, Imam Al-Bukhari. And they were not called sheikhs or maulanas or presidents. Whatever we call. The highest form of respect and the highest form of people who have knowledge was called Imam. Imam Shafi'i. Imam Abu Hanifa. Today, if you call a man Imam in Cape Town, you say, excuse me, I'm not an Imam, I'm a Maulana. Yesterday he was a Maulana. You meet him tomorrow, he'll say, no, I'm a Sheikh. I'm a Sheikh. That title didn't exist. It's a new modern title that the Arabs had brought. Anyway, so Bukhari was number one. He was born. So when did the four Imams live? Between which year and which year? I want you to remember that. 80 and 241. Okay? So you have, that's the four Imams. 80 after the Hijrah to 241 after the Hijrah. Now we start at 194. Do you already notice something here? Overlap. Yeah. So how old was Imam Bukhari when Imam Abu Hanifa died? Imam Abu Hanifa died 120 after the Hijrah, and Imam Bukhari was born 194 after the Hijrah. So which means there was a gap. Overlap, but there was a gap. In other words, the people of hadith, the greatest people of hadith, didn't live, came after the greatest people of fiqh. So which means Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal did not have what we had. Did not have what we had. This is a book they could never have had. This is a book. This book is called Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan. This book is called Big Pearls and Small Pearls. What is this about? Big Pearls and Small Pearls is what Imam Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim agreed upon. All the ahadith, the two of them agreed upon, is in this book. Imagine they had this. The most authentic hadith in the world that all Muslims recognize. And I'm not even saying Sunni Muslim, I'm just saying Muslim. They were the greatest of the hadith, and this is the best book. I think this book was only printed and done in 2002. It's not so old. 2002. If you look at when they lived, if you look at when Bukhari lived, 194, and Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim was born in 206. Only how many years later did they pen this book? So Imam Bukhari was born in 194, died 256, he was 62 years old. Young man, I mean in terms of how we look at ourselves. Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim was born 206 to 261. He was only 55 years old. And he achieved more than Imam Bukhari. Imam Muslim. Because there's something to build on. The foundation was there, so you just had to build a house, isn't it? So you could achieve more. And then we come to the third one. An-Nasa'i was born 215 and died 303. He lived for 88 years. It's always one of them who lived for 88 years. No. Anas ibn Malik lived 86 years. 88 years. Then we go on to Abu Dawood, 2002 to 275, 73 years. We'll do this quickly. Tirmidhi, 209 to 279, exactly 70 years. Ibn Majah, 209 to 273, 64. So the last of the six died in 273. His name was Ibn Majah. The first one of the six that was born was Imam Bukhari, 194. So we have a period of 206 to 273. How long was that period? Wait a minute. An-Nasa'i died 303. That was the longest living. So it's between 194 and 303. How long was that period? All right. The top one was more or less the same. 120 something? The top one was 161. All right. So we can see now that the ulama of fiqh, or the repeaters, did not have the privilege of the books of hadith. All the hadith Imam Shafi'i had to go and look for. You had to find somebody who knew the hadith. You had to walk somewhere to find the hadith. Same with Abu Hanifa. And same with the others. Now we come to a modern day scholar. So that puts into perspective. What does it tell us? It tells us we are now in 2000 and... Say 2000. So 80... Are we going to do this? All right. It's more than 1,000 years ago, I think, that these people lived. More than 1,000 years ago. So we have accumulated another set, more plus minus 1,000 years of knowledge. Books of Bukhari published. So many books have been shot. Hundreds of thousands of books have been written on Islam, on Hadith, on Quran. And I always ask myself the question, if Imam Shafi Abu Hanifa had this book, just this one book, would the madhab still have been the same? For example, if I presented Imam Shafi today, and I said to him, sir, this hadith was narrated both by Imam Bukhari and Muslim. Do you accept this hadith? Of course he would say. Why? Because it didn't exist in his time. The knowledge we have is almost, in terms of the hadith, is complete. There are no other outstanding hadith somewhere in somebody's drawer, or somebody's brain, or somebody's library. No. We have it all. Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and in the publication of the six Imams. So we are far ahead of Imam Shafi'i and Abu Hanifa because we know more. Similarly, our children are far ahead of us. I already feel out of place sometimes with the little knowledge I have when I speak to the youngsters and they use terminology that I have no idea what it means. No idea. But I smile and I say, yes. So what do we have? So what should we do now? Particularly now, we should confine ourselves. We should read Shafi and read Abu Hanifa. But where should we go for our final answer? Must go. We have no choice. We have to go. And even if it wasn't, we still have to go to the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right. Subhanallah. Imam Shafi said, if you find a hadith which is contrary to my madhab, then you take my hadith and you throw it against the wall. Then you take my view that I had, throw it against the wall, and not throw it away. And take the hadith. So what we're going to do is to follow them. All of them said that, exactly the same words. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, they all said, they had to say that. Like I would say to you, if there's authentic hadith, whatever I said, throw it away. If there's an ayah in the Quran that says, and I say content that, declare me mad. Declare me insane. Because only an insane man will have opinion above the what Allah has said and what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. Alayhi salatu wasalam. All right. I'm not going to have enough time for this demo fully today, but we'll finish it next week. All right. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are quite a few new things that the old people with grey like me know about tayammum. But I can tell you, to base your knowledge in the Quran and Sunnah makes life so much simpler. You know, to follow the Quran and Sunnah makes it cuts out 70% of the difficulty. And I always say this, because this Quran and Sunnah is meant not for people who study at UCT. This Quran and Sunnah is meant for the majority of people in the world who can't even read and write. Isn't it? قال الله تعالى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is first the Quran. First we quote the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا سعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم من. Now this is a very very important subject, the subject of tayammum. Because as Haji knows and I know and Haji they know, Haji knows, all the great people, we have to, there's another one. Haji Dawood, Abu Bakr Dawood. He's probably one of the oldest students that I can remember. I think I just came back from Cairo. So for more than 50 years, he ran away from me sometimes because I was too strict. But then he came back. I'm saying talking words. It's not true. It's not true. And yeah. All right. So what does the Quran say about tayammum? And all of you will use tayammum at some time in your life. All of you will use tayammum. Every one of you. Every one of us. We may have a patch on our hand, or we may have, we're sick, we've got a high fever, difficult to take up dust. Because what does the Quran say? In kuntum marda, Allah says. Now you must listen very carefully, because this is not Imam Shafi'i wrote this. In kuntum, and I'm not throwing anything on Imam Shafi'i, but Imam Shafi'i was a very detailed man in his explanations that he gave. Because he had to apply his mind. There wasn't much, so he had to apply his mind a lot for the four imams. That's why they were considered so great, because their minds were so great. They applied and extracted from the Quran and Sunnah what nobody else could do. So Allah says, "Wa in kuntum," if you are ill, Allah says, "Aw ala safarin," or you are traveling. Or جاء أحد منكم من الغائط, or one of you comes from the toilet. Or لامستم النساء, or one of you have touched a lady. And here the interpretation is لامس either means to have relations with that person, your wife, or it means touching a strange person. Some interpret it as touching. Imam Shafi says if you touch a strange woman, you must take wudu. And if there's no water, you must take tayammum. Imam Abu Hanifa says, no, you can touch a strange lady, you don't have to take wudu. Wudu is not broken. But we'll see what the Prophet says. And he says, that's what it means. It means touch. Abu Hanifa says, no, I interpret, and both interpretations are correct. Awla masum. Falam tajidu man. So if you're sick, or you're on travel, or you've come from the toilet, or you've touched a strange woman, or you've had sexual relations with your wife, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَانْ, and you find no water. What does Allah say? Just say it with me. So, say it. And you find no water. What does that mean? Anyone? Just quickly. There's no water. Where? No. Where? Where would you say Allah is meaning to say? If Allah says, there's no water, what does it mean? In the desert? No. This is not for the desert. This is for people who live in Toronto and in Canada and in London. This is meant for everybody. فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, and he doesn't find water. Where? Come now. If you're inside the house, then inside the house. Wherever you are. So Allah SWT says, وَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً. He doesn't say where. So it means wherever you are. And for whatever reason, there's no water. Does Allah say you must go and look for water? No. So Allah says, look for water. No, Allah just says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً, can't find water. So you're inside your house, your water's been shut off. But you go outside your house, you go, look. No. There's no water inside. If you're in the desert, and you look at it, you look like there's no water. Doesn't say you must walk 3 miles south and 3 miles north, like some of the scholars say, and 3 miles that way, 3 miles. No, 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 no. The reason you're taking a tayammum in the first place is not to what? To make things difficult for you. Isn't it? Tayammum is just. So if you're going to add something to that which makes something difficult for you, take away the whole purpose of tayammum. Because scholars say, no, no, you must look for water. And you must look for water until the end of the waqt. And just before the end of the waqt, if you still can't find water, then you make salah. Then you can take wudu and make salah. All right? That was the interpretation. They may not have had the hadith, but we will come. We will get the hadith in this book. First we read the Quran, then we'll get hadith. See what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. That's the final word. On the interpretation of the Quran. So Allah says, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا You don't find water. فَتَيَمَّمُ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then take tayammum. Other words, use dust, whatever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes with what you must take dust, or with what you must take tayammum. Sa'idan tayyiba. Good earth. We add clean. Allah doesn't say clean. Allah just says good earth. Because clean, the word for clean is tahir. Allah says good earth. Now, you see, if I had Imam Shafi's text with me now, I would just have read what he said about this. What kind of earth it must be. It must be dust. The dust must sit on your hands. That's everything. But now what do? We say what Allah says and we only look at what Allah says. Allah says, make tayammum with good earth. I'll explain what sa'idan means later on. Famsahu biwujuhikum. And Allah says, rub your faces therewith and your hands. Does Allah say your arms? What does Allah say? Rub with it. Your faces and your yad. Yad is from year to year. Aidi is plural from year. Allah says, I'm not saying, Haji, you know, yad. And AD is the plural. So Allah says, rub your faces and rub your hands. We will get to know how we should do that. So, any questions so far? It's not quoted yet, so you'll have to go and look it up. So, Suratul Nisa. I must stop spoiling you. But now you have a reason to go and look at that verse. You have a reason now to go and look at the verse. All right. So there's nothing in the Quran which says anything about talab, seeking for water, looking for water. So the absence of water does not include, says the alim. Oh, I say something about this alim. Yeah. The name of this alim is this alim that wrote this book. This alim wrote the original book. It took him, he says, he worked on the original book for 40 years. For 40 years. No, he wrote down. Every time he could write down, about salah, the zakat. He would only use the Quran and Sunnah. And then he wrote this book, At-Ta'liq al-Radiyya ala al-Rawd al-Nadiyya. Oh, Rawd al-Nadiyya. So what does this mean? This means the notes, important notes on my book that I wrote. So what he did was he went through his book, a couple of number of volumes, and read it again and looked at his mistakes and corrected it, rectified it. Only a real alim will do that. A real scholar does that. He says, you know, I said that a year ago, or I wrote it there, no, that was wrong, you know, and I corrected it, and I'm correcting it for you, and so forth and so on. All right. I'm trying to remember what I read, but I... Okay. وَقَدْ وَقَعَ مِنُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا يَشْعُرُ بِمَا ذَكَرْنَ. He says, what we have mentioned now about what the Quran says, we also find in the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّهُ تَيَمُّمَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ مِنْ جِدَارٍ كَمَا ثَبَتَ ذَلِكَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ دُونَ أَنْ يَسْأَلْ أَوْ يَطْلُبْ. This alim, whose name is, still give his name, his name is Al-Albani, Shaykh Al-Albani. He is the modern day Bukhari. Al-Albani, subhanAllah. He was born in Albania, that is what he is called, Al-Albani. And he died in, I think he died in Lebanon. Died in Lebanon? I made a note somewhere. No, he died, he died lately, he didn't die too long ago. Where did I make a note of it? Oh, Albani, 1999. He died in 1999, and he was 85 years old. Al-Albani. He was a watchmaker. His father was a watchmaker. That was in Damascus, I think. Yeah. See? These great scholars, they all had professions. They all worked for themselves. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took tayammum, he took it against the wall. He did that. Yes, it was a wall made of clay, but it was a wall. In other words, this sa'idan tayyiba, this earth which Allah speaks about in the Quran, is not only earth which is flat, it is whatever comes out of the earth as well. Whatever is made from earth and is above the earth. Part of the earth. I'll explain to you later why Allah SWT doesn't use the word clean earth. Why clean is left out. Alright. So let's look at the Sahihain. He says, what the Prophet ﷺ says is the same as what Allah says in the Quran. So we'll hear, does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say that you must just wipe your face and your hands? What does the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Let's see. Open the mystery book. Somebody must translate this beautiful book, inshallah. I have to live another 100 years. Maybe I should start it. Ammar, you know Ammar? Ammar who? Ibn? Ammar ibn Yasir. Barakallahu fiqh. A man came to Umar ibn al-Khattab, he says, and said to him, إِنِّي أَجْدَمْتُ فَلَمْ أُصِبْ أَلْمَا. He said, I have had a dream and I don't find water to take a ghusl. فَقَالَ عَمَّارُ بْنِ يَاسِرْ لِعُمَرْ. I think this was during a battle. This was during travel. فَقَالَ عَمَّارُ بْنِ يَاسِرْ لِعُمَرْ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ. So Ammar said to Umar ibn al-Khattab while they were on the journey, أَمَا تَذْكُرُ أَنَا كُنَّا فِي سَفَرٍ وَأَنَا وَأَنْتَ. He said to Umar, do you remember the time when two of us were traveling, we were also traveling? وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَتَمَعَقْتُ فَصَلَّيْتُ. As for me, Amr ibn Yasir says, as for me, I rolled myself in the dust and I made salah. Because he thought tayammum was like you take wudu. You thought tayammum was, you must, your whole body must be covered in dust. Because like you put the water, he thought now, he's So he rolled himself in the dust and he made salah. فَذَكَرْتُ لِلْنَبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ So when we came back to Medina, we asked who? Who did we ask? The most beloved of Allah, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And the Prophet replied, the Prophet responded, what did the Prophet say? إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَكْفِيكَ هَكَذَا The Prophet said, You should have done only what I'm going to show you now. He didn't explain to Ammar ibn Yasir. He said to Ammar, I'm going to show you what you should have done instead of rolling yourself in the sand, or in the desert, wherever they were. فَضَرَبَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بِكَفَّيْهِ الْأَرْضَ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِمَا Listen. Because this knowledge you have to transfer to other people. So where is this hadith? By whom? Who narrated this hadith? Who of the six people? Which two? Bukhari and Muslim. What are they called? When we refer to them, we say muttafaqun alayh. Hadithun muttafaqun. If you hear the Imam says from the minbar, muttafaqun alayh. What does it mean? That both Imam. These two imams have narrated the hadith. In other words, it is absolutely every, they can give account of every man from the Prophet to them who had narrated the hadith. Okay, so you got that. It is called Hasanun Sahih. The hadith is called sound. It's called sound hadith. The what? What do they call it? The chain? Of men, what do we call it? No, what is the chain called? Isnad. The isnad of the hadith, the chain of the hadith is absolutely, we know every person. We don't know, they not only knew every person, but they also knew his character. And what he did his whole life. They wrote autobiographies on every single person that they used for writing down hadith. So, Ammar ibn Yasir says, the Prophet Daraba. He hit his hands. He didn't say where. This could have been against the wall because this is in Medina. وَنَفَخَ فِي بَدَنِي Blew on it. The excess dust that may have been on his hands. Because the idea is not to dirty your face or your hands. So you can't put your hands in the sand, in the dirty sand, and just, no. And say, well, barakah, mubarak. No. The idea is to cleanse yourself. You, all the excess that is on your hand, you blow it off. Then what did the Nabi do? What did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then do? Thumma masaha bihima wajahahu wa kaffayhi. This hadith is also in Bukhari, so you can look it up in Bukhari. It's in this hadith number, I think it's chapter 7. There you will find it on Google, you can Google it. You can just Google Ammar ibn Yasir and Tayammum. You'll find it. Thumma masaha. Then he said the Prophet rubbed bihima with his two hands like this, he rubbed his face. And what did he do? He rubbed his hands. What did he do? He rubbed from here to here. My whole life I've rubbed from here to here. Not wrong. You follow the mujtahid. There are hadith which is some hadith. The man who wrote this kitab on Tayammum, he says, I will not take a weak hadith. No. All the hadith I will use to establish my proof will be hadithun what? Sahih. Hadithun sahih. Hadith at different levels. This book contains all the hadith agreed upon by who? By Bukhari and Muslim, and they all 100%. There's no like little bit of, there's a little bit of doubt on this man, there's a little bit of doubt on that man. No, no. This is pure. This is like the fish oil that we bought when I was a child. You know, you go to the barber shop, you buy fish oil. My mother sent you for 2 pennies of fish oil. Then it's fish oil. It's a real fish oil. I say, this is a rechte vis olie. If I was saying, if I was speaking in the dead language. All right. There's two hadith dealing with this, but I want to quote for you both hadith. There are three hadith. The next hadith is by Abi al-Juhaym al-Ansari. And the hadith goes as follows. Abu Jahm aqbala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min nahwi bi'ri jabalin falaqiyahu rajulun fasallama alayhi. This is how this hadith goes. This hadith goes that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come from the direction, this man says, the Prophet was coming from the direction of a well called the wife of the well of the camel. That was the name of the well. The Prophet was coming from the well, coming towards him. And he greeted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He greeted the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ سَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet didn't respond to his greeting. You must find out why the Prophet didn't respond to his greeting. I'm going to tell you next week. If there's nobody here, then I know none of you had done any research. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Prophet walked past him. Strange. You have to greet his Farut, isn't it? حَتَّى أَقْبَلَ عَلَى الْجِدَارِ. He says, the Prophet walked until he came to a wall. There was a wall. Again. فَمَسَحَ بِوَجِّهِ وَيَدَيْهِ. Then he rubbed on the wall. He rubbed his face, wayadayhi, and he rubbed his two hands. Thumma radda alayhi salam. Then he responded and gave and said to the man, wa alaykum salam. I know the answer. I'm not going to brag. I know the answer from previous readings. So next week? You know the answer? No. We're busy here with the hadith sahih and the Quran, so you want to come? Okay. Let's put that on the back burner. Yeah. Okay. Because it's a very important answer. Why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that? All right. Have you learned something so far? Alhamdulillah. Yes. He came from a well, yes. But the well was probably either too deep or there was no water in it. Yeah. I think those two things. Either deep, he couldn't get the water out, or it was, he saw it was dry. Yeah. Two things, yeah. So there was no water. Yeah. Any other questions? We should take a few questions. Any questions? Oh yeah. Before I end, let me just narrate to you. Don't make a dhan yet. All right. Okay. Anybody want to know? You want to ask a question? Somebody want to ask a question? I thought somebody wanted to ask a question. Okay. Yeah, the new people must please write your name on the list so we can send you notices for the lectures. Yes. Surah An-Nisa. 443. So it's 4. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. That is that instruction at the beginning. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Aula mastumun nisa." Aula mastumun nisa means. Aula mastumun nisa has two meanings. One is that a person has sexual relations with his wife, and there's no water. So there it starts. And also at the bottom, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Where's janaba mentioned in the verse?" And you said at the bottom of the verse. You said so. Oh. No, that's in the verse I quoted. The drunken state is not in that verse. Oh, okay. No, all right. No, I understand. Shukran. Shukran. So it's mentioned twice there. La Mastumunisa, and it's mentioned. Where you said it's mentioned. All right. No. Alhamdulillah, you know. I'm not going to say. But we understand that. We understand that. If you need to take a bath and there's no water, whether it's from Janaba or nothing else, you can take them. You don't have to roll in the dust. All right. But I will explain what this concept of dust actually means, how it is interpreted. What does it mean when Allah says Sa'id? Allah doesn't say Turab. Allah uses a special term, Sa'id. Sa'id means that which is above. So the earth covers the whole, sand covers the whole earth, or whatever is above the earth, whatever it may be. Whether it's a rock, a mountain, a wall, whatever is built from the earth, is part of the earth. All right? Well, I think we'll have to hear this for next week. There was somebody wanted to ask a question, sitting here, to ask a question about last week's lecture. There's a lot of questions in my mind also about last week's that I wanted to talk about. Is there anything in particular that anyone here wants to ask me about last week's lecture? Because last week's lecture was also an important lecture. Nobody. All right. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.